Today's daf is Yuma daf Nun Vav. We are holding on the bottom of daf Nun Heim. We're right in the middle of the Gemara asking a question, but today's primary sugya is the sugya of Breira. It's a sugya that comes up in several places in Shas, and it's going to be the primary topic of discussion for today. So while we're discussing Breira, the Gemara is going to try to prove that Rabbi Yehuda rejects Breira. It's going to bring a proof from Halachos of Trumas and Maestros. That proof is not going to work, so instead it's going to bring a proof from Eruvei Tchumin, from the Halachos of Erevin, of setting up an Eruv, relying on Breira. And then at the end of the day, the real discussion that caused us to bring up Breira was about the two Kanim, the two potential, whether there were two Kanim, two stands to hold blood, or only one stand to hold the blood in the Heichel. And the Gemara is going to say that even though Rabbi Yehuda normally relies on ksiva, maybe normally Rabbi Yehuda would rely on signs to keep a person, to get everything straight and to put everything in the right place. When it comes to the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur, we're not going to be able to have two kanim, one labeled for the Dama Par, the other labeled for the Dama Sayer, because of the chulsh of the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol is so weak from all of his hard work and his fasting and everything, we're not going to rely on him being able to focus enough to be able to distinguish between the two kanim. Then the Gemara is going to elaborate on how he would switch the Dam HaPar that he was holding for the Dam HaSayir, according to each opinion, according to the opinion that there was one Kan, and according to the opinion that there were two Kanim. And then the Gemara is going to elaborate on how he would do the sprinkling of the blood in the Heichel. We already discussed the sprinkling of the blood in the Kodesh HaKadashim, but now it goes back out into sprinkling of the blood in the Heichel by the Parochas, so we're going to give some details about that sprinkling as well. But we were holding in the discussion, the Mishnah had a Machlokas, how many kanim there were. So Rabbi Yehuda said that there was only one kan, there was only one stand to hold the blood in the Heichel, because the reason there wasn't two is because we were afraid that if there were two and you put the blood down on two different stands simultaneously, he might grab the wrong one, he might take the wrong one. So the Gemara said, why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda agree that there should be two and he won't grab the wrong one? Because you'll label it, you'll put up a sign, one will say Dama Par, the other one will say Dama Sayer. So the Gemara said, no, Rabbi Yehuda is less like Siva. He doesn't think Siva is going to help. He doesn't think writing things down is really going to work. So the Gemara raises a question. How can you say he doesn't hold of Ksiva? We have, and we're right in the middle of that question. We'll see what the I is. But how can we say he doesn't hold of Ksiva? We're about to see that he does hold of Ksiva. So how are we about to see that he does hold of Ksiva? So we discussed how there were different shofaros for different monies in the Beis HaMikdash, but all of them were for Karbanos Ola, none for a Karban Chatas. Why can't you keep money for a Karban Chatas in one of the shofaros, in one of these boxes? Why does Karban Chatas money have to be hand-delivered? So the Gemara had said, because we're afraid of Chatas Shemesu Baaleha. What if you have the Bailam of the Karban Chatas dies, then what are we going to do with that money? How are we going to find the right money to get rid of and use the money for everybody else? You're not allowed to bring a Chatas Shemesu Baaleha. So it's going to be a big problem. That's why we don't have special boxes for Karban Chatos money. So the Gemara had said, well, why don't you just take out a certain amount of money, however much money it is, that let's say if you know that a person died, so take out however much money they had put into the box for their Karban, and throw it in the ocean, and you'll be hover adover, that money belonged to that person, and then you'll be able to bring all the rest of the Karbanos Chatos. So the Gemara had said, Rabbi Yehuda, less lay Breira. That's where we left off. Four lines on the bottom. Rabbi Yehuda holds you can't do that because less lay Breira. Rabbi Yehuda does not hold of the concept of Breira, retroactively clarifying that the money that we happened to pick out of the box was the money that belonged to the person who died. That we don't have the ability to do. We cannot assume that is the same money. We cannot clarify that money was for that purpose. So this introduces us to the sugya of Breira. A few things about Breira before we begin. The Rishonim write that the din of Tanai that works, meaning there's two very similar sugyas that have vastly different halachos. There's the sugya of Tanai and the sugya of Breira. Tanai always works. A guy could be Mekadesh Nish al Tanai. You could do make a Kinyan al Tanai. Tanai we always have. We can always add a Tanai into something, and that always affects the ability of the Chalos to happen. If the Tanai is fulfilled, the Chalos happens. If it's not fulfilled, it doesn't happen. Sounds very similar to Breira. Tanai and Breira in a certain level sound very similar. I mean, take for example the case of Breira of an Eruv that we're going to have later on. That a person puts out an Eruv L'Mizrach L'Mayrav and says, Bachacham lemizrach eruvi lemizrach, and bachacham lemarav eruvi lemarav. That I want my eruv tchumin to be chal whichever way the chacham comes. Isn't that a tanai? If the al menas that the chacham comes to the mizrach, my eruv should be the mizrach. And if the tanai is fulfilled that it comes lemarav, so it should be lemarav. So what's the difference between tanai and breira? So the rishonim all say no, there's a big difference, but they argue about what that difference is. Rashi writes throughout Shas that Tanai is by something that's biyado l'kaima, that it's in a person's a person has the ability to fulfill the Tanai, but it's something that's not biyado. A guy says miyardu gashamim hayom, if it rains today, so that's not bechlal dine tanaim, that's not included in Tanai, that's included in dinim of breira. But Chacham is out of his hands. That's up to the Chacham. If the Chacham is going to come, the Mizrach L'mayrav, that wouldn't be Tanai, that would be Breira. The Ramban holds that the chiluk between Tanai and Breira is that Tanai is al davar echad. A person is makes a Tanai that something that will be Mekuyim or will not be Mekuyim. A guy writes a get to whichever woman, whichever one of his wives is Yotzei B'Pesach Tchila. If he writes a get, that if he would write a get for one wife, and he says if she comes out of this Pesach Hareza get, that's a Tanai, and that's all Aldov Rechel is for that wife. It's a Suffolk if it's going to be Miskayim or not, because Suffolk whether she's going to be the one that walks out first. But if he writes a get, La Achas Bishtei Nashav, and it's whichever one comes out first, so it's not on a Dover Echad Mesuyam. It's not on a given single thing. It's on two things at the same time. Whenever you're dealing with two things at the same time, that's Breira. So that's the difference, at least according to the Ramban, and you really have to work through each of the cases in the Gemara of Breira and Tanai and see if these Gedarim actually work. The Rishonim aren't just floating ideas, meaning there are reasons that they reject each other's approaches. You have to really work through each, if we do it properly, we really have to work through each case in Shas and see how each of these Gedarim would work throughout. Now, we're going to have a machlokas tanaim, machlokas amoraim, whether yesh breira or ein breira. So it's primarily machlokas tanaim. We're going to see in our sugya and the gemara in Erev, the gemara in Sukkah, the gemara all over the gemara in Gittin, all over the place. Machlokas tanaim, whether yesh breira or ein breira. But there is machlokas amoraim if those shitos that hold ein breira hold in all cases ein breira, meaning there is a machlokas in Maseches Gittin, I believe it is the Gittin Daf Chafei, where the machlokas between Rava and Abaye / Rav Masharshia, whether maybe we could be mechalik between something that's tola bedas atzmo, where we would say ein breira because you're showing that you're a poseach al shtei hasi'ifim, it's up to you and you're still not decided. So versus tola bedas acherim, where even if you hold Ein Breira normally, so Abaye holds that even those who normally hold Ein Breira, when you're Tola B'das Acherim, you'd be Moda Sheyesh Breira, that Breira works. That's the sheet of Abaye Rav Masharshia. Rava holds, no. If you hold Ein Breira, you hold Yesh Breira, it's nothing to do with Tola B'das Atzmo, Tola B'das Acherim. So that's a further Machloka Samurayim within the rules of Breira. There's also Machlokas Rishonim, if you hold Ein Breira, what does that mean, Ein Breira? Does it mean it's not Chal at all, or does it mean it's chal misafik? Meaning, if you say that Breira doesn't work, so does that mean that nothing happened? They say you make the Eruv relying on Breira. So that means it's no Eruv, or does it mean it's a Suffolk Eruv? What do we... So that's also Machlokas Rishonim. Rashi holds that that if it's Chal, it's Chal Misafek, if you're Mafresh Truma using Breira, you have a Suffolk Truma in there, and you just can't identify where it is, so you have serious problems. And Tosus holds that no, if you hold the vein Breira, nothing was chal, so you just be mafresh truma again, and then you're done with it. So that's a major machlokas rishonim. So how do we paskin at the end of the day? Yesh breira, rein breira. So it is a gemara maseches beitza daf lamed zayin. The gemara is explicit that on dinim da oraisa we do not rely on breira, but on dinim derabanan, we do rely on Breira. And that's how the Rov Rishonim are. That's how Rov Rishonim seem to pasken alach alamaisa, that for all dinim d'araisa, we're not going to be samech on Breira. For dinim derabanan, we will be samech on Breira. Why? So the Ran explains very poshut. Whether yesh Breira or ein Breira is a big machlokes, and we were never able to be poshut. We were never able to come to any maskana. So it has a din of a safek. So when it comes to safek d'araisa, we go to chumra. When it comes to safek d'rabanan, we go to kula. It would turn out that if saying yesh breira is a chumra, then it would turn out that we would say on a din d'araisa, we would say ein breira. Meaning it would turn out that if whatever we would say yesh breira on a din d'araisa. Meaning you would really just have to look at what the chumra is. It's not so according to the Ran. It's not about yesh breira ein breira. It's about safek. Any breira situation is a safek. So you have to look at what's the chumra, what's the kula in any given case. That is the sheet of the Ran. Not all of the Rishonim agree with that approach, but that's the sheet of the Ran. Some say it's b'toras vaday that b'daraisa ein breira bein l'kula bein l'chumra b'drabban yesh breira bein l'kula bein l'chumra. That's the sheet of the Yamshel Shlomo. The Yamshel Shlomo is never afraid to argue on Rishonim, and he says that that's the approach. The Gemara says the Gemara doesn't say it's a suffix. The Gemara makes the chilik between daraisas and drabbanans. Mele, that's the psak halacha, says the Yamshel Shlomo. The other Rishonim seem to say against the Gemara la halacha. They seem to assume that bein daraisa bein drabanan ein breira. Others say bein daraisa bein drabanan yesh breira. So you could find a Rishon that says just about anything in terms of the halacha of breira. But the majority opinion seems to be, and the way we paskin is b'daraisa, we don't rely on breira, b'drabanan we do rely on breira. So anyway, so how do I know that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold of breira? I mean, nala on three lines from the bottom now. Ilei mamehad etnan. If it's from the following Mishnah. And Tosfos points out, it's not so clear that it should say Ditnan over here, because what we're about to quote may not be a Mishnah, it's really a Braisa. Tosfos says maybe if it's a Braisa that's Miyusad on a Mishnah, it's okay to say Ditnan, even when it's a Braisa. But okay, we have the following Tanaic source that says as follows. Halokeich yain miben akutim. Erev Shabbos imcha shecha. If a person bought wine from Kutim, so no Chumas or Maestros were taken from it, and now it's Erev Shabbos imcha shecha, so for whatever reason, he can't do Afrashas Chumas or Maestros normally, big discussion in the Rishonim why he can't just do it normally, but he's not going to be able to, for whatever reason, he's not able, there's no time for him to be mafresh Shumas Maisos normally, but he wants to use the wine for Shabbos, he's going to need the wine for Shabbos, so what does he do? So, Omed va'omer, Shnei Lugin Shani Yasla Hafrei Sharei in Truma. So he says, the first two lug that I will one day be mafresh from this wine, after Shabbos or on Shabbos, whenever I do it, it should be Truma Me'akshav, right now it should already be Truma. Asara Maisa Rishon. The next 10 that I'm afresh, that should be Maisa Rishon. Tisha Maisa Sheni. The next 9 that I'm afresh after that, that should be Maisa Sheni. Umeichel Vishosa Miyad. And then he could be Mechalel the Maisa Sheni on money, and right away he could drink from the wine. Divra Meir, that's what Meir says. So what do you say? Meir relies on Breira. Right now, which two Lugin are going to be Truma? Which 10 are going to be Maisa Rishon? He has no idea. It's whatever he's going to be Mafresh, whatever he's going to take two Lug out of it tomorrow, and that's going to be Truma. He's going to take 10 Lug out of it tomorrow, that's going to be Maisa Rishon. Right now, he's got no idea. So that relies on Breira. The fact that right now, we assume already the wine's not going to be Tevel, and you're going to be allowed to drink from this wine, that relies on the fact that it's Huvra Adavra Lemafre, that what he determines tomorrow to be the Truma will have been Truma the whole time. What he determines tomorrow to be Maisa Rishon will have been Maisa Rishon the whole time. So Rameir very clearly relies on Breira. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, Osrin, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, and Rabbi Shimon all say it's no good, that such a hafrasha does not work. Oh, Alma in Breira. So you see that Rabbi Yehuda rejects Breira. This is the source that Rabbi Yehuda rejects Breira. So the Gemara says, no, that does not necessarily tell us Rabbi Yehuda rejects Breira. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda has a different problem with it. Maybe it's not because he rejects the notion of Breira, but Dilma Shaini Yasum Kiduktani Taima. If you actually read Vayter, Rabbi Yehuda explains himself. Amr Lodra Meir, this group of Rabbanim that includes Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, they all said to Rabbi Meir, aren't you worried that if the barrel of wine breaks before he's ever mafresh the two lugin that are supposed to be truma, the 10 lugin that are supposed to be ma'aser rishon, what will happen then? He will never have been mafresh anything, and everything he drank between now and then is going to be tevel mafreya. So it's not that we don't rely on brera. Brera could work. We're just afraid that it's never going to actually happen. When he's mafresh, the shnei lugin ein achinami, it will be truma l'mafreya. But what if the whole thing breaks and spills all over the place? He's never going to be mafresh the shnei lugin, and then you're going to be in trouble. Then it will turn out that he drank tevel. That's why we don't allow for this. Va'amar lahem, Rameir said, l'chisheyibaka. Yeah, let's see it happen. I mean, when that happens, we'll have the problem. But how often does that happen? I'm not so concerned that the barrel is going to break. But the bottom line is, we cannot prove from this case of Trumas and Maestros that Rabbi Yehuda rejects Breira. Rabbi Yehuda had a different reason to reject this case of Trumas and Maestros. Okay, lots of issues to discuss over here. It seemed like a short Amud Aleph, it's a long Amud Aleph. Lots of issues to discuss over here. The Tosus raises the kasha. What's the example? You bought Yayin that was Tevel, Mibein Hakutim. Don't you have bigger problems if you're buying Yayin Mibein Hakutim? Weren't the Chazal Gozer on Yenim Shalkutim? How could it be that you're going to drink any of this wine? It's Stam Yenim. You're not allowed to drink wine that you buy from Kutim. So Rashi says that this Mishnah was taught before they were ever Gozer on Stam Yenim. So maybe this was before the Gzera. But Ein Achinami would be a poor example Bismanenu because they already made the Gzera. Tos says, no, even according to Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, who hold that Kutim are Geri Arayos, and therefore have a full din of Goyim, it's Machlokas Tanoim, what exactly the status of Kutim was. They went through some sort of Gerus, just a question whether it was a sincere Gerus or not. But even those who say that they were Geri Arayos, that they were afraid of lions, and that's what caused them to be Megayer, but they weren't sincerely Megayer, nevertheless, when they were Gozer on Yayin of Goyim, they were not Gozer on Yain Kutim, says Tosfos, because the Kutim were Mekayim Torah Shebichsav, and they were not Ovid of Odazara. So there was no reason to be Gozer on their Yayin. Meaning, even though we keep the Gzera of Stam Yainim Mishum Chasnus, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says, even if it has nothing to do with Avodah Zarah, even by people who are not Ovdei Avodah Zarah, we still keep the original intent, the original motivation for making the Gzera was Avodah Zarah. So if there were people at that time that were not being Ovid Avodah Zarah, that were careful not to be Ovid Avodah Zarah, the Chazal would never included them in the Gzera of Stam Yenim. That they weren't luhutim lenasech l'avodah zarah. It wasn't something that they were eager to do, to be menasech l'avodah zarah. Tosfos also says that it could be we're talking about b'mitaheres yeno, that a person is mitaheres yayin, could be some if it's yayin mevushal or something like that, where you're not going to have a problem of stam yenam. Now that's point number one. Now Rashi Maseches Gittin says we dafka say Kutim over here, meaning what's a normal example where you have Trumas and Maestros that you have to take after you purchase something? So normally we talk about when you buy from an Amaretz, because there's a whole Masechta about that. Masechta Tamai, you buy from an Amaretz, you can't trust that the Amaretz took his Trumas and Maestros. But Rashi, Masechta Gittin, points out we dafka don't give the example of Amaretz, because by an Amaretz you wouldn't have to be Mafresh Truma. Because all Amearets take off Truma Gedola, they're all afraid of Truma Gedola, and even when it comes to Maestros, it's only a Din Drabanan that you need to be Mafresh Maestros from produce they buy from an Amearets, because Rov Amearets Ma'asrim Heim, most Amearets actually do take off Maestros. It's only Din Mi Drabanan that we have to be Choshesh for the significant minority of Amearets who don't take off Trumas and Maestros. So that's why we dafka pick Kutim as opposed to an Ama Aretz. Tosos writes that even though that which it says beferish in the Torah, the Kutim are careful about, so Tosos raises the question, well, if Kutim are careful about everything that it says explicitly in the Torah, Trumas and Maestros are pretty explicit in the Torah. How come they're not taking their own Trumas and Maestros? Shouldn't they be taking their own Trumas and Maestros? So Tosos says, yeah, but remember, they translate Lifnei Iver literally. So they will take off their own Shabbos Maisos if they're going to drink it. But when they're giving it to you, they don't think that it's a problem to give it to somebody else when it's the Shabbos Maisos aren't taken off from it, because they translate Lifnei Iver literally that you just can't put a stumbling block in front of a blind person. But there's no problem with giving somebody Ma'achalos Asuros and letting the person eat Tevel. So and also Minat Torah so that's why they're not worried about being Machshil people Minat Torah. So Tosos over here, Mesechus Gittin, says, but wait a second, it's Momon Shein Lo Tovin. So it's Gezel. Meaning, granted, they're not worried about Lifnei Iver, but if they owe the Kohen 2 lug and they owe the Levi 10 lug of Yayin, so isn't that Gezel? So Tosos says, no, it's not Gezel because it's Momon Shein Lo Tovin. It only becomes Gezel once you designate something as Truma and then you keep it, or even then it's Momon Shein Lo Tovin. There's no single Kohen that could say this belongs to him. There's no single Levi that could say this belongs to him. So they hold it's not Gezel. Plus, calls man that it's not Hufrash, it's definitely not Gezel, because it's just Tevel, so it's not Shaykh even to Shevet Kohuna, or to Shevet Levia, until you're actually, you actually mafresh it. Now, the Taz in Yeridea has an idea that the chiv of Hafrash Shumas and Maisos might even be when a person doesn't want to eat. Even if you have no intention of eating, you're going to throw it out, you have more food than you need, there still might be a chiv of being Mafrash Shumas and Maisos, says the Taz. According to that, so even if it's Mamon Shein Lotovin, but the mitzvah of Shumas and Maisos has nothing to do with whether you're going to eat it. It's a mitzvah independent of whether you're going to eat it. So why would the Kutim not be Mafrash Shumas and Maisos? Again, the whole reason we said they're not Mafrash Shumas and Maisos, because they don't care about Lifnei Iver, so they don't mind giving it to us. That's if you hold that the din of Shumas and Maisos relates to the person who's eating it. But if you hold like the Taz, that even if you have no intention of eating anything, once you have produce, you have a din of Shumas and Maisos, you have a mitzvah of Shumas and Maisos, so they have a mitzvah of Shumas and Maisos, assuming that they were lumdish enough to tell like the Taz, meaning that they held to the same lumdish of the Taz. And furthermore, the kash is asked by the Achronim, isn't it Gezel Biachas to the Jew who's buying it from him? Meaning the Jew is buying it for it's a mekach tos. He knows that the Jew is makbid on certain things, that the Jew is makbid that it not be that he not eat tevel, and that he's so. Granted, you don't have a problem with lifnei iver, but the kutim should have a problem with gezel, and this is dishonesty in business. Why are they okay with the gezel? Okay, so lots of kashas on what exactly the cheshbon of the kutim is. The bigger or the more fundamental kasha that we shouldn't deal with in this brisa over here is. Why can't he just take Shumas and Maisos? It's Erev Shabbos. You have all this. Just take Shumas and Maisos. What are you making a cheshbon? The two that are mafresh tomorrow, the ten that are mafresh, just do it and then you don't have to worry about Breira. So Rashi writes that he has no kelim to be mafresh l'tochan. He's got one big barrel of wine and he has nowhere to pour the wine into. So it would be great if he had another little jug to pour 2 lug into for the Kohen and 10, another jug to pour 10 into for the Levi, etc. He just doesn't have it. Elsewhere, Rashi writes, in Masechta Sukkah, and elsewhere Rashi writes that maybe he has no kelim tahorim. He has kelim, but no kelim tahorim. But the same point, that he has nowhere to actually put it. And Rashi also says that maybe it's Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos. So it's Kiddush Alav Hayom, it's raised right up against it. He's not going to be mafresh during Bein Hashmashos. So Tosus just is bothered by that, because if it's Bein Hashmashos, anyway, it's going to be chal now. Meaning, the whole point is that you're saying when I'm mafresh tomorrow is going to be chal now. So whatever, if you hold that you're not allowed to be mafresh to Trumas and Maisos right now, you're allowed to be mafresh for Demai Bein Hashmashos, but you're not allowed to be mafresh Trumas Maisos Badai during Bein Hashmashos. So if you hold that you're not allowed to be mafresh now, so you are being mafresh now, even by saying the tulug that I'm going to be mafresh tomorrow, it's still being masakin it right now. So that's a discussion as to why exactly the person is not being mafresh for real right now. There's also a discussion in the Rishonim that there is a concept that we require shireha nikarin, that when you mafresh trumas and maisos, the shirayim need to be nikar, that you have to take truma from the mixture, and then the rest has to be left over. Over here, there's no shireha nikarin, so the Rashba raises that problem, that there's no shireha nikarin. So the Rashba says that since it's chal, according to the shita of Yesh Breira, so when you're later mafresh the truma, it's mispar l'mafreya that the truma was chal, in the end, when it is nikar, meaning as long as at the end of the day it's shireha nikarin, as long as at the end of the day when you're actually mafresh it, it's nikar, at the time that it's actually chal, it doesn't need to already already be nicker. Then Tosos also deals with the issue. You see, there's a lot of Tosos here, but Tosos also deals with the issue of the numbers seem to be a little bit off. If you have 100 lug of yayin, so how much are you going to give for truma? So midar is chita achas putaris kol akri. Well, not chita by yayin, drop achas putaris kol akri. You take one little drop of wine, that could work for everything midar isa. If you're a generous person, we say though, generous people give 1/40th. Average people give 1/50th. So slightly more stingy people give 1/60th. So we're assuming the guy's giving 1/50th. Great. So shnei lugin shani yasalaf is truma. That's good. That's the right ratio for your average person. How much do you have left now? Now you have 98 left. So how much should be Maisa Rishon? It should be 9.8 that's Maisa Rishon. It shouldn't be 10 that's Maisa Rishon. And if you start with 98 and you took off 9.8, now it's going to get it's a little more dicey. But it's going to be less than 90. So 10% of less than 90 is less than 9. It shouldn't be 9 that's Maisa Sheni, right? It should be less than 9 that's Maisa Sheni. So what are the numbers? So Pashtus is, we're just giving round numbers. It's not, we don't get crazy about this. There is a day in Rishonim that the Rishonim quote and reject, Tosos quotes in several places in Shas, that maybe since Truma, the amount that you give for Truma, Chitakas Pateras Kolakri, you can give any amount and it would work, Midar Raisa, for Truma, the amount that you take off for Truma is not going to lessen your Chiv of Maisa Rishon and Maisa Sheni. Meaning, when figuring out what you have to give for Maisa Rishon, we would use pre-Truma numbers to figure out what you would give for Maisa Rishon, rather than post-Truma numbers. The reason that all the Rishonim reject that possibility is, what's the maximum that you're allowed to give for Truma? So the maximum is anything less than the entire thing. You can give 99% of it and it will be Chal Shem Truma and 99% of it. Now how are you going to do Maisa Rishon? Let's say you do that. Let's say you want to be generous and you give 95 Lugin of your 100 for Truma. If you hold that Maisa has to be taken from pre-Truma numbers, there isn't enough left to do Meiser. So that's why the Rishonim reject that possibility. And most assume, just the Pashtus, that we like to use round numbers, but we shouldn't take it too literally in terms of the actual numbers that we're using. And then the last issue that the Balei HaTosos deal with over here is various stiros in the shitos over here that we're quoting. Meaning Reb Meir over here very clearly holds of Breira. Reb Meir is the one that says you could do this. This is fine. This is part of Breira. Tosos raises the kasha that over here he holds of Breira in Maseches Becharos, when it comes to Achim Ayarshim, Reb Meir has a suffix about Breira. It seems that he's not so clear that there is Breira and Becharos Daf Memches. So Tosus is Metarets that when it's Mivarer and Mefarish Estavarev, like Lokeach Yayin, then there's Breira. But by Achim Shecholku, then he's not being Mivarer anything. So what does that mean? So the Achronim explain that the chiluk is as follows. When he himself is making the Breira work, so then that which he's mevara lemachar will be chal, that will work. As opposed to where it's not mevara, it's just that it's going to happen, he's not mevara anything, it's something that happens memela, like Yerusha. Someone dies and Yerusha just happens, so then there's then Rameir's Masupuk, whether there's going to be Breira in that situation or not. There's also a stira they ask in Shittas Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi over here seems to reject Breira over here, and that's what it sounds like in Erevin also, that Rabbi Yossi rejects Breira. But in Gittin, when a person is Kosev Get Lishto, if he dies Mecholyo, so it sounds from Rabbi Yossi that in Meis Ye Get, that Rabbi Yossi accepts Breira in that case. So Tosfos says, so there's so many shades of gray in Breira, in terms of, it's not just Yesh Breira or Ein Breira, there's so many little details that you could add in to make each case different than the next. So Tosfos says, maybe the difference is as follows. When it's going to be one of two possibilities, the guy's going to die or he's not going to die, he's writing a get. If he dies, so it is a get. If he doesn't die, it's not a get. So it's a very straightforward yes or no. So then we're going to say that it's Breira. We're not going to reject Breira in that case. But where the options are, A could happen, or B could happen, or nothing could happen by an Erev. The Chacham come lemizrach, he come lemarav, or he might not come at all. So then Rabbi Yossi is going to reject Breira in that case. So again, so many, or maybe he's mechalik between Tol B'das Atzma versus Tol B'das Acherim, so many different ways to be mechalik within the laws, within the rules of Breira. That's what makes it such a complicated sugya. And I guess one final thing. The Lashon that our mayor uses in his argument is a little bit unusual. What did Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon say to Rabbi Meir? How could you rely on Breyer over here? Aren't you Choshesh Shami Yibaka Anod? So Rabbi Meir should say, no, I'm not Choshesh. Ain Choshishin. That would be the proper Lashon. L'chesha Yibaka? What does that mean? When it happens? Is that like snarky? Like how are we supposed to? What's he saying? Like wait till it happens. It's very very difficult to understand such a lashon. That's what Pnei Shlomo raises the question. He says he's not speaking b'lashon chachamim. That's not the lashon chacham. We know fine. The Chazal speak like that. So he said what he's trying to express is perhaps a major nafkamina. If the reason that you ask her, meaning what's the svar of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon not being okay with this method of being mafshir shumas meisus? We first thought it was because they reject breira. So if the reason that they ask is because they reject breira, so then the truma is not chal at all. But what if their svar is what they're saying now, that it's shemi yibaka anod? So Shemi Yibaka Anod means that we're afraid it's the guy's going to drink Tevel L'mafreya because Shemi Yibaka Anod. And what if the barrel doesn't break? So according to those shitos that are worried of Shemi Yibaka Anod, if the barrel doesn't break, the Truma should be Chal. If the barrel never broke, so it's just they don't allow doing this because they're afraid the barrel will break. But if it doesn't break, then the Truma should be Chal, then it should be fine. Then there was no Tevel. So there's a major nafkamina b'dieved. If you actually did this, what the svara of those who argue on Rav Meir is. So that's where Rav Meir is pointing out. He's saying, L'cheshe Yibaka, meaning that's, according to what you're saying, it's only a problem if it's actually bokeh, if it actually breaks. B'dieved, it would only be a problem, L'cheshe Yibaka. According to what you were telling me originally, or the way I originally understood your position, that we don't rely on Breira, then it's going to be a problem even if the barrel doesn't break. So he's just pointing out that there's a major nafkamina between the two ways of understanding their shita. So that's how they explain that lashon. It also explains why our Gemara even bothers recording Rav Meir's response. We don't need what we need right now is to show that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold the Breira. So what do we need Rav Meir's response to? We already showed that we can't prove Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold the Breira from this Mishnah. No, Rav Meir's response, because it helps us understand Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, because there's a major nafkamina whether it's going to be chal at all or not. So, yeah.
Does that response from Rav Meir indicate that Rabbi Yehuda holds Islay Breira? Meaning, if the only reason you're rejecting this argument is because Shemi Yibaka Hanod, but once you eliminate that factor, doesn't it sound like he's saying, well, then you hold him?
Right. Yeah. That there's a major nafkamina whether you're rejecting me because you don't hold of Breira, or no, maybe you hold of Breira, like the Gemara is trying. Right. That's what the Gemara is trying to say. We tried to prove Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold of Breira. So no, maybe he does hold of Breira, but he's choshish for Bekiyas Anod, like he says. He says he's choshish for Bekiyas Anod. Oh, I mean, there will be a right. At least that Rav Meir is at least pointing out that would be a nafkamina. Whether Rabbi Yehuda holds that at the end of the day, you know, is still debatable. It's not debatable for long, though. So says Gemara, Elmi Detani Ayo. So where do we know Rabbi Yehuda's position of Breira? Detani Ayo, because Ayo taught that Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Ain't the masna al shnei dvarim ke'echad elim bachacham lemizrach eruva lemizrach lemarav eruva lemarav avol kanu lekan lo, that a person cannot put out two eruvin, one to the east side of the city, one to the west side of the city, and if two chachamim come, decide which eruv he's going to want to be chal. There are two rabbis coming in each direction, and he's going to want to hear a shir from one of them. Let's say one is a real lamdan and one is a real darshan, and he's not sure whether he's going to be in the mood for lamdas or drush tomorrow. So on Shabbos, he decides what he's going to be in the mood for. He decides which Erev he wants to be Chal. So that, no, you're not allowed to do. But you're allowed to have, you're allowed to put out two Eruvin, and you just don't know which direction the Chacham is coming in. So that you're allowed to do. That you could say, if I there's one Chacham coming, I just don't know if he's coming from the east, from the west. So I put out two Eruvin, whichever side he ends up coming, that's where I want my Erev to be Chal. That you're allowed to do. You're just not allowed to have it with two different Chachamim. V'avinuban, we said about that, Maishal the The reason why you can't do it with two rabbis is because of Ein Breira. Well, the Mizrach Umar of Nami Ein Breira. Well, to the east and to the west also, if it's one rabbi, also it's Ein Breira. breira. So Avam Rabbi Yochanan kishekvar ba chacham. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, we're talking about that the chacham has already come. You just don't know where he came from. So therefore, there's nothing that has to be huvrar. It's already huvrar. But when Bein Hashmashos is there, you just didn't have that information yet. But it already was huvrar. Already the metzius was already there. It's not like the Trumas of Maestros, where it's not yet huvrar which two lugin are going to be the truma, which ten are going to be the maestro. Over here, it's already decided. So you see that Rabbi Yehuda does in fact reject Breira. That's where we see that he rejects Breira. So if Rabbi Yehuda rejects Breira, so then apparently the problem with the different shofaros was a Breira problem, was not a Ksiva problem. Meaning we said, why can't you have some boxes that say Chata, some that say Ola, and put the different money in the different boxes? So we thought, oh, maybe Rabbi Yehuda doesn't rely on Ksiva. He thinks that putting up signs is not good enough. It's not gonna keep things straight with the signs. No, we just proved that Rabbi Yehuda's problem with the boxes was a Breira problem. If one of the owners of a Chatas dies, we're not going to be able to pick out any money and just throw it in the Yam. It's a Breira problem. So apparently, Ksiva is not an issue for him. He thinks making signs generally is okay. So Yom HaKippurim Nami Navetrevin Nichtav Alayu. So now going back to us, this is the end of the Kasha that we started on the top of Daf Nun Hayamid Beis. The Kasha was, according to Rabbi Yehuda, why don't we have two different stands to hold the blood in the Heichal, one for the Dama Par and one for the Dama Sayer, and just label them. Don't worry that the coin's going to get confused. Just label them. Put a sign on one of them that says Dama Par and a sign on the other one that says Dama Sayer, so you don't have to worry about anything. Nothing's going to get confused. Why does Rabbi Yehuda think you can only have one stand? So he said, maybe Rabbi Yehuda doesn't rely on signs. Here's the Kasha. He does rely on signs. He just rejects Breira, but generally he would be okay with putting out signs. Answers the Gemara, Mishum Chulshu de Kohen Gadol Lavadaite. Generally speaking, he would rely on signs, but we can't put more on the Kohen Gadol's plate than he already has. We can't. He's Mishum Chulshu de Kohen Gadol. He's so weak from the avoda of the day. We can't expect him to be reading signs. Also, he just doesn't have the patience and not the patience. He doesn't have the focus to do it right now. Di lote mahachi. Because if you don't say that, meaning if you don't say that it's a din of Chulshu de Kohen Gadol, then anyway, you wouldn't even need signs. If he's really paying attention, he should be able to tell the difference between Dam Par and Dam Asayir anyway. Because below Ksiva Nami, Hai Nafesh Vai Zutar, who has more blood, a cow or a bull or a goat? Obviously, the one that has a lot of blood, that's the bull. The one that has a little bit of blood, that's the goat. It's a much bigger animal. So you should have been able to tell the difference anyway. And not only that, V'chitei Melo Mekabel Lekule, and if you're going to say, no, he can't tell the difference based on quantity, because who says we're Mekabel all the Dam of the Par? Maybe we're just have a little bit of the dam of the par, so the quantity is not going to give it away. Vam Rav Yehuda shochit tzorik sheikabel es kol dama shel par. Well, Rav Yehuda says we're mekabel kol dama shel par, so the quantity really should have given it away. Shenemar ves kol dama par yishpochol yisodem esbeach. So the quantity would have been enough if he was paying attention for him to know the difference between Dam Par and Dam Asayir. V'chitema dumla mishtabach minei, and if you're going to say, oh, but maybe some of it spilled out and therefore the quantity doesn't give it away either, well, haichiv v'vai sumak, the color is different. The color of the blood of a par is different than the color of the blood of a sayir. So if the color of the blood is different, that should have given it away. That should let Rabbi Yehuda know, that should let the Kohen Gadol know which is which. So why do we need one stand so that we can make sure the Kohen Gadol doesn't ever put the two of them down at the same time and get confused? We need one stand so that he can keep track of everything. Why do we need that? Can't we rely on the fact that he'll see the difference in quantity, the difference in color, or a sign at least? Ele mishum chulshu de Kohen Gadol lavadaite. So elamai, we assume that mishum chulshu de Kohen Gadol, we assume he's not paying attention to the little details. Hachanai mishum chulshu de Kohen Gadol lavadaite. So over here as well, when it comes to signs, we assume mishum chulshu de Kohen Gadol, he's not going to have the ability to pay attention to such details. Says the Gemara, who did nachas kamei de Rava? Amar yatzavi nichval kan sheni shebehechal. Someone was saying over the whole avodas Yom HaKippurim to Rava, and he was describing what the Kohen Gadol does. So he says he comes out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim and he puts down the Dam HaPar on a second stand that's in the Heichal. So that sounds like the Shita of the Tanakama, that there are two stands in the Heichal, that it's not just one. Natal Dama Par v'niach Dama Sayir. And it says he picks up the Dama Par and he puts down the Dama Sayir. He picks up the Dama Par, puts down the Dama. Wait a second. If there were two stands, then it should be the opposite. Then you should put down the blood that you're holding first and then pick up the next blood. It's only if there's one stand that you got to pick up the blood first to make room to put down the blood that you were already holding. So Amar Leh, Chadak Rabbanan v'Chadak Rabbi Yehuda. It's you're saying one line like the Rabbanan and one line like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds that there's one stand. We'll say you have to be notel before your maniach. But the Rabbanan holds that there are two stands. So that would say you're maniach before your notel. So Ema, we have to change it. Ema hiniach dama sayer v'natel dama par. So the way you need to say it is that he's maniach, he puts down the dama sayer, and then he's notel dama par, and then he takes the dama par. So you see very clearly that that Rabbi Yehuda's shita is that we don't put the two bloods on two stands at one time because we're afraid mishum chloshut kohen gadol he's going to become confused. Therefore, we have one stand and he's always holding one of the bloods in his hand at one time. So the I just saw it in the Shiuri Agrid Rav Lichtenstein put out a while back Rav Salvechik Shiurim. On the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, so he suggests the following idea, that it could be, that typically speaking, there's something called halacha. In the Beis HaMikdash, when you have dam, so when you have to be zorikin on the Mizbeach, so you have to get the blood from the animal's neck and bring it to the Mizbeach. That's halacha sadam. That's an avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. What if you're just holding the dam and you're not moving? You're not moving anywhere? So is that avodah? So no, that's not part of halacha. Let's say you need a break. The kohen's walking with the dam and he needs a break. He can give it to Yisrael. Let a Yisrael hold it. Let a Zar hold it. That's not halacha. That's not avodah bizarre. That's not a violation of anything, just standing still. So if Salvechik suggested maybe that idea that just standing still is only a maisa itztava bialma, you're just standing there like a rock, that's not called halacha, maybe that's only by regular karbanos, but maybe by the dam of lefnai v'lefnim, where the point is not to get it to the mizbeach, because we're constantly shifting the dam, we've already brought it in, and now we're bringing it back out into and we're going to sprinkle it on the parochas. So maybe when it comes to the avodas Yom HaKippurim, where it says vehevias dama al mibeis la parochas, so the entire process is all included in halacha, and therefore even standing still holding the blood would also be called halacha, would not be called just a maisa itztava. So it would be possible for zar were to do that, were to stand there holding the blood. So even though it says shachta v'kibul b'mizrachas dama v'nasal mishum m'marispo, that he'll give it to someone to mix it around, that's before the dam is brought to me based on parochas, before the kohen gadol began any of the sprinklings. But maybe once that sprinkling begins, anything, any step of that process is called halacha. He says, based on that, maybe we understand why the Rabbanan require two stands over here. Meaning, what's the problem? Why can't we just have one stand in the Beis HaMikdash? Why do we need two of them? Meaning, even if you're not worried that things are going to get confused, what's so hard for the Kohen Gadol to put one down before to pick the other one up and then put the other one down? Why would you? The Rabbi Yehuda Shita, we understand. We're afraid you're going to get confused, so we need to only have one stand so you keep track of what you have in your hand at all times. But why does the Rabbanan need two? Even if they're not concerned about it, what do you need the second stand for? It's so hard for him to hold two things at the same time for a half a second before he puts the other cup of dam down. Why do they need two? So he says that according to this, it makes a lot of sense why you need two. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, for a single, if there's only one stand, for a single moment, the Kohen Gadol is holding dam hapar in one hand and dam hasayir in the other hand. So Mela, he's doing avoda with his left hand. If you hold it standing there, holding dam, is considered halacha, so he's doing avoda with his left hand, and that's possible. So you're not allowed to do avoda with the left hand. And plus, is another reason, when he's holding both of them at the same time, the Kohen Gadol's doing shtei avodas. Because the holding of each dam is also an avoda, is considered an avoda. So when he's holding each cup of dam, it's an avoda. You're not allowed to do shtei avodas ka'achas. So that's why, according to the Rav Salvechik explained, that's why according to the Shita of the Rabbanan, it was necessary to have two. It wasn't stam just for convenience because it's so much easier. How much easier is it already? So no, it was necessary to have two. Otherwise, it would be a psul in the avoda. Much more, much deeper picture of what's going on over here. Okay, we'll stop there. Bez Hashem, we'll pick up tomorrow. Oh, yeah.